We are 3 weeks into the offseason, and the Jets are now without a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator either after parting ways with Tanner Engstrand on Tuesday. What a mess, but that's why we are here. Tim McMaster, along with Zach Rosenblatt. Please like the show wherever you're watching Flight Plan. If you're here on YouTube, the baggage handlers, thank you for joining us. Zach, it's been a couple of weeks. My apologies. Last week I was overseas for work. And it just was with time zones and jet lag. See that? It just wasn't going to work. But luckily, the Jets waited until this week to completely turn into an off-season mess. How are you doing?
You know, I joked to you. You and I, we have this run going over the last couple of years where we just like happen to pick a time or a day based on our availability. And because we do that at that exact time, we get it like right after a lot of craziness happens. Like, so over the course of this week, there's been like four different things. Whereas like, if we recorded this yesterday morning, it would have been old by the time we get to this morning. So like, I don't know, maybe you have a master plan that, you know, all this stuff is happening and that's your skill as a planner.
But my sources,
but you know, this is the life we live on this Jets beat. Like at any moment, there's going to be something again. And I say this all the time, and I used to retweet my own tweet every week during games where I'd say every week the Jets do some shit that you've never seen before. And I've never seen what has transpired with their coaching staff after the first year of a head coach. And as I was joking with you before the pod, half joking, half seriously, I've become known as like the people call them hit pieces. I disagree with that description, but I've become known for writing about the dysfunction of the Jets organization and kind of peeling back the curtain. And like three straight years I've published one, and more than one. And I was really did not want to do one this year. like those things are exhausting and they take a lot out of me. And I don't like how much negative attention they bring, you know, on everybody, including myself. Anyway, the point being, I really was trying to, you know, give Aaron Glenn the benefit of the doubt throughout this process. I think even when they were struggling in that 0-7 streak, like I wrote a lot of positive stories. You know, I do think there's guys in that building that believe in him and the player in terms of the players. And it was a really, really bad season. And I still was like, okay, I think we got through it. And maybe we're not going to be too dysfunctional and I can get through January, but we made it to January 27th and just chaos happened. So, and we have a lot to talk about, but at the end of the day, I just feel bad for Jets fans, man. It's just, first you get Sunday, you get Sam Darnold making the Super Bowl, which is a good thing, but everybody's making fun of the Jets about Sam Darnold. Whereas like nobody realizes that all Jets fans are cheering for Sam Darnold. I don't know anybody that isn't.
Right.
But the flip side is you have the Patriots being back in the Super Bowl. You have Mike Vrabel being in the Super Bowl. You have Leonard Taylor blocking the field goal that basically wins the game for them. So you're getting tortured by that way on Sunday. And then all this staff stuff happens. And it just looks like the Jets don't have a plan again. And they're doing things where the whole NFL world is mocking them. And so I ultimately feel bad for Jets fans because, you know, I want to cover a team that is a winning program. That is my ultimate goal in life, is for the Jets to win so I can cover a winning team.
The baggage handler is coming out strong already this morning. Lou Giordano, too much baggage to handle. Michael Dunn, we're garbage handlers now.
There's been a lot of clever stuff on Twitter, I would say, the last couple of days.
Yeah. So we're going to get into the defense coordinator position, possible directions for that. That's obviously been open for a long time since Steve Wilks was fired in season. And we're going to get into the offensive coordinator as well and Tanner Engstrand departing and what that means, who the possibilities are there. And, of course, you had out there the John Gruden comment rumor leak. Anyway, before we get into those two kind of ways to dissect this, overall, I just want to get into the communication of the offseason with Aaron Glenn and this organization. And you wrote about this in your story that I think dropped yesterday during the day. But there were conversations at the end of the season with a number of Jets coaches that was basically like, hey, if you see something out there, go for it. But the understanding, reporting for a lot of those coaches was they would be back. Like they were being told it's okay if you find something better, but you know, the understanding was they would be back. And then at some point, that communication went a different direction. And obviously a lot of those coaches are not going to be back. You think about Wilkes, obviously was gone. Angstrand, Scott Turner, the passing game coordinator, Charles London, the QB coach, Eric Washington, Aaron Curry, the linebacker coach, Alonzo Escalante, Dre Blatt, like lots of guys are now gone. And there's a lot to rebuild there. The impression, I think the way Aaron Glenn puts himself out there, sells himself, is that he's a guy that is upfront, that he's a great communicator, that he doesn't bullshit. And this whole thing just seems to be a different than that.
Yeah. I mean, I think from the Jets perspective, they feel that they let these coaches know, like, you know, if there's a job out there, like, don't be afraid to pursue it. But that was when the season ended and they all got the ones that got fired. Tanner hadn't by Thursday, by the way, that's a part of the convo, but, Thursday night, I believe, is when the firing started. And a few of those guys, not all of them, but a few of them were taken aback by it because they felt that at some point at some point in the last week or two is what I would say, they felt a shift in Aaron Glenn's plan that he had kind of iterated to them over the course of the offseason where, okay, maybe in the beginning they said it's okay to look for jobs, but at a certain point they felt confident that they were coming back, and that includes Tanner Engstrand as a play caller. And then something changed and he fired some coaches. And look, at the end of the day, this was a really bad team. And some of these coaches did not do a good job. Like, I think Charles London was a guy the Jets fan base was pushing to get fired. And, you know, on this podcast, I talked a lot about Aaron Curry and Eric Washington as names to keep an eye on because those two units regressed. Like, you saw Will McDonald, Jermaine Johnson, Quincy Williams, Jamien Sherwood in particular, all regressed. Jawan Briggs got better on the defensive line, but, and not only that, but I heard those players are clashing with those coaches. They did not agree with them. They did not get along with them. Anyway, so like it's not shocking that some of these coaches got fired, but it's just the manner in which this process played out confused a lot of people. Ones that are there still, ones that have left. And then you have the Tanner side of it where, you know, we talked about him a bunch on this podcast. Like, I obviously wasn't a perfect season for him, but I thought considering the tools he had at his disposal, I thought he did a pretty good job broadly. You know, receivers are getting schemed open. I think there were times where the offense was really moving. The running game was at its best when Fields was a quarterback and they really had a good running scheme going. It kind of, you know, got less good when Fields wasn't in, but the passing game was terrible when Fields was in. You know, at the end of the day, they were like 28th or 29th in scoring. So like, I get it, but I thought he showed enough promise to where you could have been okay with going back with him another year. And I would have completely understood and they would have been in the right.
Especially,
to bring him in.
With no quarterback walking in the door. And we can get
Well, that's also part of it. Like, he was dealing with Justin Fields scared to throw or holding onto the ball too long. Tyrod had his moments, but he holds on to the ball too long. And you have Brady Cook, who's Brady Cook. So, like, what is he supposed to do with all of that? Was always my opinion about Tanner. Like, that's why it was hard to criticize him at times. There was definitely decisions throughout the season where you're like, what are you doing? Like, there were some third and ones and fourth and shorts where he's like, you know, tossing it to the side or they're throwing it, they're audibling out of a QB sneak to a whatever. And I'm just like, what are you doing? And there's moments like that for sure. But this was not Nate Hackett. This is not, you know, some of these terrible OCs that we've seen here over the years. So I thought he was worth banking on again. But Aaron Glenn at some point decided that he wanted to keep Tanner on. Like, we'll let you keep your offensive coordinator title, but we're probably going to, you know, change your role up. And as of Saturday, they were still in conversations what that would look like. There was nothing guaranteed yet. But there were conversations around, we want you to stay, but we don't want you to keep doing the job you were doing. So you'll be OC in name. Like, basically, like, I mean, not quite the same, but like Nate Hackett got demoted and kept his title and then nobody heard from him again. And he just got, you know, somebody told me at one point that he showed up the next day after he was demoted with some Red Bulls for the rest of the staff. So I don't know if that was true. That might've been a joke, but it sounds right. Anyway, I can always make a joke at Nate Hackett's expense. So they wanted Tanner actually to be like, look, we're gonna try and hire a bunch of people who are going to take over your job. And the idea was finding someone who basically be a head coach of the offense. This person would actually call plays and Tanner would just still be in the building. And it felt like maybe the Jets were trying to skirt the Rooney rule that would, that you have to do when you go OCs, which is why, you know, that, that would be a reason why this happened so late in the process, where on Tuesday, out of the blue, it's Tanner Engstrand and the Jets have agreed to part ways, just as like things were getting, it felt like things were getting close to Frank Reich, which we'll get into. But yeah, anyway, so like, this is a long way to say, you know, a couple weeks ago, a lot of the people on the staff thought they were fine. It looked like Tanner was going to be the OC. They were looking for the DC. Wink Martindale is obviously the favorite. And over the last couple of days, just like everything has been blown up. They don't have an OC DC. They have to fill all these position coach spots. They have to fill the OC spot while doing all the interview process. They just did another interview for DC. Like, it's, it just looks like a dysfunctional mess. It looks like, for someone who talks about his plan that he had, that there is no plan anymore. And I don't know what changed specifically yet, but it's alarming for a, for Aaron Glenn, who, you know, I think the thing that he was lauded for when he was hired, Mike Tannenbaum went everywhere to everywhere who would listen and say, one of the things we love about him is his relationships in the league and his ability to build a staff. And Aaron Glenn's quotes at the combine and his intro presser are all about, you know, it's about compatibility. I really want to get a staff that I believe in is going to have the ability to coach these guys up and put them in this position to succeed. And that plan failed. His plan for Justin Fields failed. And so, like, what do fans have to hang their hat on with him now? Because, you know, okay, like, look, I know it looks bad right now, but we have a plan. Like, we're building the foundation, this, this, and this. That was all things that we couldn't see. It was all things that he was talking about behind the scenes. And when we would ask, like, okay, he was literally asking his, I think, season-ending press conference by, I believe, Cause, like, is there something you can point to behind the scenes to, like, give us, like, give an example of why you believe the foundation is being built? And he didn't really give an answer then either. So as we progress, it just doesn't feel like they're, you know, it's what's the phrase from the Trump presidency? It was like that we have parts of a plan, or we have, I forget what the line was. It's like we have like on the line. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, so it doesn't feel like they actually have a plan anymore. They're being roundly made fun of around the league. It's neither the OC or DC job is particularly appealing, and it just feels like this is the most inevitable firing that I've ever felt covering an NFL team going into a season. The offseason hasn't even really started. Like, it's the right. Super Bowl hasn't happened yet. We haven't got to the combine. Like, we haven't even got the Senior Bowl is going on right now. Like, and
this was the offseason that the Jets were supposed to get back to winning the offseason here, and they are so far the big loser. Yeah,
I saw a funny joke online that they started off the offseason down 21-0, and somebody's like, well they're used to that, actually, so maybe they're in good shape.
I mean, the timeline too, like, coaches are being scooped up, and it's not, I mean, say what you will, it's not the greatest thing to be firing coaches now either, in my mind, because they're in a disadvantaged spot to get another job themselves. Like, you'd rather be in a spot where you let go of your coaches right at the end of the season, give them the best possible opportunity to find something somewhere else. It's just like coming from a humanity standpoint. And now they've waited and there's less jobs out there for other coaches to get to. You mentioned the Rooney rule, and I think everybody understands that, but just to be clear, like, you have to do two minority interviews in-house, so in person, not over Zoom, with two different candidates who are minorities before you can hire anyone. So by potentially trying to skirt that, they're saying, well, we still have Tanner Engstrom. He's our offensive coordinator, so we can just hire whoever we want and we don't have to go through that process. But now, obviously, they will have to go through that process. So even if, like, Frank Reich is all but signed to take over this role, he's going to have to wait until now. I don't think anyone else is jumping to hire Frank Reich, so I think he'll be there, Zach, but they will have to go through this process of getting the other people. The other thing I wanted to dig into a little bit is with Engstrand, the fact that this isn't, like, who would want this job, right? Like, maybe it is Frank Reich and maybe they already have him set up, but, like, you're in a position where it would be totally different if Dante Moore was in the draft, right? Because then you'd be able to sell, like, hey, we're going to have this young quarterback for you to mold and build an offense around, and it's exciting, and what an opportunity for a coach. But you don't have that. So it's like, in a year, we may have a young quarterback if we don't all get fired before then. Yeah. And then the other dysfunction of like what's going on the defensive side. And it just seems like, I mean, if you had to rank like options to, you know, there's only 32 offensive coordinator jobs in the world, right? So it is a great job. Don't get me wrong. But like, if you're a well-respected potential candidate on the rise, this is probably not the spot you're going to look at.
I mean, it's more appealing than the defensive coordinator job because they at least have an offensive line and Garrett Wilson and a bunch of draft picks.
Maybe Breece Hall.
And maybe Breece Hall or whoever you get a running back. But and all I can think, even as you were talking, like I honestly, this is the first time I had this thought. Like Aaron Glenn is not an idiot. Like I think he knows that he's on the hot seat now. If he didn't at the end of the season, I think he knows now. And that's why he has to like, that's why he's aiming for big names like a Frank Reich, like a John Gruden, like a Wink Martindale, and we'll get into all that. But all I can think is I'm more confident now than I have been at any point since we knew they were going to need a new quarterback this offseason that they're going to try and take a big swing on somebody, because you're on the hot seat and you're aiming for like a 60 something year old offensive coordinator. Like like Frank Reich doesn't really have time to develop Ty Simpson for 3 years. So I'm saying like a Kyler Murray, like a Kyler Murray type, like a Mac Jones, like a, I don't know, Jacoby Brissett. I mean, Frank Reich and Jacoby were together in Indy. You're not going to win.
Which honestly, all of that is fine as long as you're in a position where you can cut bait at the end of the year with that person.
Yeah. Yeah. In my opinion. Yep. Yeah. That's part of it. But I just feel like they're going to take a swing now and then, that may be good or bad. And maybe, I mean, Kyler Murray probably wouldn't cost a lot in a trade. I don't think he's a good fit. He's probably, in terms of like talent, at or near the top of the available players. Like, I don't think this is a coaching staff that can go into a season with like Malik Willis as your quarterback, like that, because it's not the same thing as Justin Fields, but it's kind of like you're buying a lottery ticket. Like, it can't be a lottery ticket. It has to be somebody you know who he is. And you know who Kyler Murray is. You know who Mac Jones is to a degree. You know Jacoby Brissett. You know, like, I don't think Marcus Mariota is going to cut it. I don't think, you know, I mean, maybe Kirk Cousins is somebody they'll be interested in. I don't know if Kirk will be interested in them. So it's, again, there's not a lot of great options, but I feel like just based on how this offseason has played out, they're going to aim for a name at quarterback. And I don't think there's a lot of big names that are going to be available. So,
I mean, when you talk about Kyler Murray or Mac Jones, I mean, you couldn't have two different quarterbacks, right? I mean, Kyler Murray, who's obviously an elite athlete, he's going to run around undersized, all that he is. And then Mac Jones, who can't move, right? Like he's going to drop back. He's going to throw the ball. So like, I guess when you think about offensive coordinator, right, that you either need to have a coordinator who's prepared to go either direction, or you need to like decide which of those quarterbacks you want and go hard based on the coordinator.
I mean, I guess
makes
the other
hard
one
when they're so different.
The other one that I've had my eye on is Geno Smith. Like it just feels like a perfect Jets quarterback for this like miserable season. Like the comeback and so it gives us something to write about in the offseason, and then season starts and you're like, he's not good anymore, unfortunately, because he had a bad year in Vegas. But that's what you're working with. But in terms of like the OC, I guess we should talk about OC now.
We should get into Gruden a little bit.
This is the Gruden section. I just want to throw out.
Yeah.
Just want to throw out real quick. They did interview or are going to interview Cowboys tight ends coach Lunda Wells today.
Yeah.
He is a minority. I don't think he's a serious candidate. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Like that, they need a coach that has play calling experience if you're letting him run the entire offense. And so I don't see him unless they see him as like somebody who could have a role on the staff maybe. But it does feel like we're headed towards Frank Reich. I do know there's been other candidates they've reached out to. I don't know how involved they'll be in this interview process. And then there's the one that you just mentioned who I know they reached out to, which is John Gruden. Before I get into it, I'm curious, what was your reaction when I told you that?
I think I saw your tweet, actually. It was the first thing before. my reaction was, oh, the Jets. That was my reaction.
I think that's been the
reaction. I wasn't surprised. To be honest, I was not surprised. I was actually a little surprised that, because it sounded like it was an immediate, like, no, not interested. I was actually a little surprised there wasn't at least some interest for him to coach.
So what I'll say is that I don't know how long the conversation went. This is, if you're not aware, this is, I reported that the Jets reached out to John Gruden and about a role on their staff. I believe it would have been like the Frank Reich type of thing that's being pitched, which Connor reported first, I should say. The idea that he would be the head coach of the offense. And what I heard is that it was pitched to him as Tanner Engstrand will still be there, but you can bring in your guys to be on the offensive staff. So, you know, look throughout his history who that would be, but that was the idea.
Who are John Gruden's guys? That's another question.
Yeah, I mean, just go to his most recent Raider staffs. Probably there's some guys on there, but yeah, I'd say, you know, look, I know they're getting mocked for it, but I don't blame them for aiming high. It's just, I think the concern I would have is the top candidates that we know that they've had for OC and DC are all 60 or older. Like it's not like you're going after these innovative young minds. You're going for somebody who's been a head coach who can run things on offense between Frank Reich and him. That's the only reason you reach out to them. But, you know, Gruden, it would have been.
And that can be successful. Like, I don't want to, Andy Reid is still at the top.
There's still a world it works. Honestly, yeah. I'm skeptical it will, but there is a world where it does. Like, Frank Reich is a respected, and I'll get into Frank in a second because we should stick on Gruden. Like, it would have been highly entertaining for me, for us, for people who follow the Jets. Like, that would have been a lot of fun. I think you would have run the risk for, if you're Aaron Glenn, that you're hiring your interim coach to replace you, which is still possible, Frank Reich, frankly. But ultimately, like, I know John Gruden has, it seems like he's wanted to get back into coaching. I don't know if he wants to get anything but a head coaching job as part of it. So I don't know if it's necessarily that he's only rejecting the Jets. Like, I don't know if he's going to take an offensive coordinator job anywhere. Like, I think he wants to be a head coach, and he's enjoying himself quite a bit at Barstool based on a lot of the videos I've seen. But, you know, it was a name that when I was tipped off about it, caught me off guard because I did not realize that he would be somebody that would be on the table. But I know they've reached out to some other offensive coaches who have experienced play calling that haven't gotten out there yet. Still working to like confirm a couple of them. But so Gruden, he won't be coaching the Jets, but it was a fascinating little moment. Like, it took me a couple hours to confirm it after I got tipped. I really wanted to report it. So I wanted to get it like ironclad. So I did. And so now we know that Gruden was at least someone who was mentioned. And so I imagine, and I'm digging on names that haven't been out there that I don't know. I'm sure there are other names along these lines. Cause if you look at it, like Gruden, he's not currently employed by a team. Frank Reich is at Stanford. He's like an advisor now. He was the interim coach at Stanford last year. Like, these are guys, Wink Martindale, he's not employed by anybody right now. So like, you can talk to these guys without even worrying about interviews, and, you know, Glenn could have talked to them at any point basically. So, That's what makes them unique. So I'm sure there are coaches out there, and you're going to start seeing some of these interview requests and things like that, like Lunda Wells, because they have to go through the process. If they only do a couple interviews, then it's a good sign they're going to be hiring Frank Reich, I would say. And it has felt like that. It was heading that way. And I was surprised by that, because when I first heard about Frank Reich, like, everything I had heard is that he was already thinking about retiring before Andrew Luck called him and asked him to coach Stanford for the year. He coached them for the year, and then now he's just advising. Like, he had, pretty sure, 1 foot out the door into retirement. And then I think the Jets just did a full court press to try and convince him to come and coach them. And I get it, because Aaron Glenn actually was teammates with him with the Jets. He was a quarterback for the Jets in 90, I don't remember what year. I gotta look it up. It was early 90s. He was, or mid 90s, I should say. He was a quarterback for the Jets, so they know each other. Frank Reich, again, he's older, and it's been a couple of years since he's ran a high level offense. Like, the Stanford was bad. I don't think they had talent. His only year in Carolina was a disaster with Bryce Young. And I think his last year in Indy wasn't very good when he got fired, replaced by Jeff Saturday. Before that, the Colts offense, if you look at it, ranked in the top 10 to 15 of EPA every year. They were pretty good running the ball. They were really good on third down. They were good in the red zone. But at this point, that would have been like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So he's in his 60s, and his last like really successful season as an OC was 5 years ago. So like, that's my concern with him. And it's the same thing on the other side with Wink Martindale, some of the concerns that I have, but sticking on offense. I do think at the end of the day, it'll probably be Reich, but I don't think it's a lock. Like, I think they were trying to convince him to take the job. I don't think he had fully committed to it at a certain point. They're giving the full court press. I think they're going to give him good money to do it. Aaron Glenn is going to tell him, you're the head coach of the offense, and I'm going to focus on the defense. And I think that's the ideal plan they have, but it's not guaranteed that he's the OC.
All right, let's look over on the other side of the ball on the defense. And one thing that's changed, I guess, in the recent weeks from your reporting, where it looked like, you know, they had talked to Wink Martindale way back and gotten those conversations going. But now suddenly maybe Aaron Glenn wants to call the defense, and that changes the equation as far as who the coordinator is. Can you just kind of explain what has happened in that arc?
Yes, that's like, it feels
you
like
sound
two different
by this. Act.
I know. Well, because it's like, there's like the whole, we just spent all that time talking about all the chaos on the offensive side. Like, this has been happening also the whole time. So, like, and I know there's been a lot of mocking of all the reporting about Wink Martindale, because like, oh, well, Wink is just telling everybody that he's the favorite. No, he wasn't the one telling everybody. Like, he spoke to Aaron Glenn for the first time before the season even ended. And he's the only one that I know of that Aaron Glenn spoke to before the season ended. It was with the idea that he'd be the defensive coordinator. And over the course of weeks, both sides felt that he was going to be their most likely defensive coordinator, lock, but most likely if everything worked out contract wise and interview wise, and they talked to candidates and they didn't feel like somebody was better. They go through the process. He does his first virtual interview. The Jets announce all 8 of their virtual interviews. And if you look at the list, it's, and I believe we podcasted after the list came out. I can't remember though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's the only really like experienced play caller on there. Like Jim O'Neill had been a play caller before. DeMarcus Covington was a play caller 1 year for Gerard Mayo. But otherwise the list, and Jim Leonard was the big name everybody wanted. From what I understand, he was never a real option. At least like he wasn't fully interested, and he's probably going to be the Bills DC, though I saw the Chargers are interested in him now. So that left, Wink Martindale is the obvious one. And I'd heard that, number one, Jim O'Neill was the fallback if Wink didn't work. And number two, to keep an eye on Chris Harris if Aaron Glenn decided to call plays. And so you get to Saturday. That's when Wink flies to New Jersey from Florida. And he does his interview however long. And there's a lot of jokes online. Like, did they let him leave the facility? Like, is he snowed in? But at some point on Saturday, Glenn started to intimate to people, both in the building and outside of the building. And, you know, this was a change, of course, because this wasn't the plan at the end of the season, by the way, that he was thinking about calling plays. And so all of a sudden, Wink was not completely taken off the board. Like there were still conversations with him, and I imagine there still have been. I need to check back on that. But he became less of a favor, because why are you hiring Wink Martindale if he's not calling plays for you? And based on how things ended with the Giants, I can't imagine it would go particularly well if Wink is sidelined from calling plays as the defensive coordinator while Aaron Glenn is calling them. So that changed things a lot, to where now all of a sudden there's a lot of juice for Chris Harris being the defensive coordinator and Aaron Glenn calling the plays. So there's a brief moment where it seemed like the Jets were on the verge of having an offensive and defensive coordinator, neither of which called plays, which I was kind of hoping for, because I can't imagine that's ever happened. Like that's such a, there's never been such a unique situation where neither coordinator calls plays. Like just imagine that. But obviously Aaron Glenn at some point just changed his mind about whether he wanted to call plays, and now it seems like it's heading that way. And then they added another interview. There's a coach, I'm blanking on his name right now, coach on the Dolphins staff who coached with Aaron Glenn in Detroit, has been with the Dolphins the last couple of years. I think he's a younger coach. So clearly the search is not over for DC as you're just starting the search for OC. And so as we sit here right now, I don't feel confident Wink's going to be the DC. It's still possible, but it leaned towards not happening. And, you know, Chris Harris feels like the favorite, but maybe this guy they just interviewed who has a history with Aaron Glenn, so he can team up with somebody who he's coached with in Detroit, where, you know, I think a lot's been made about Aaron Glenn's defense and his history as a play caller. I don't think anybody's looked at him as like a mastermind on defense, but I think he was really good at developing talent as a DC, and he put his group in position to succeed even when things are crumbling when he's in Detroit, which is why I was so high on him as a candidate. If you look at that last year, everybody got hurt. They were still top 10 in EPA. I think the year before they were top 10 in EPA and DVOA. The years before that, they were really bad. So it was a progression, like from year one, year two, one of the worst defenses in the league, year three, pretty good, and year four, pretty good. So like, is he Jim Schwartz? No, but Aaron Glenn is a capable defensive coordinator at his best, but the Jets don't have any talent. And so he's going to have to develop these guys within one season while calling plays. and hoping Frank Reich or whoever's the OC can handle the offense. And it's just from what it was a year ago where he was adamant that he needed to be the CEO and be able to, like, you know, oversee everything,
right,
to now where he feels like he has to call plays. And I think it's ultimately the right move. Like, you know, as everybody keeps saying, go down with the ship. Like Aaron Glenn, if you're on the hot seat, like, show what you got. Like, you're going to pay a lot of money.
Yep.
You know, $12 million a year, whatever it is. Like, go and call the plays. Show that you're a good coach. Show that you have a plan. Show that you can get the Jets back on track. Like, if you want to really, you know, put your hands back on the wheel. And so it seems like that's where we're going to head. And the Jets are going to live or die by how this coaching staff plays out and the job they do. And then this rest of this offseason, like, everybody's really down on the Jets right now. I imagine there'll be some positivity again once we start seeing free agency. The Jets have a lot of money. I imagine they're going to try and make a splash now, because that's just kind of how things goes with the Jets when there's a lot of negativity around them. And then you get to the draft, you have the number two pick, you have the 16 pick. Like, I think there's going to be more positivity again, but then you get the training camp. We're going to see how this roster looks, and it's going to be on Aaron Glenn and Frank Reich, whoever's the OC, and Chris Banjo. And, you know, the pressure's on, because, you know, Aaron Glenn is going to be the number one on every single first coach fired list. And it's hard to blame anybody for putting him there. But, you know, and now that we have a history of Woody firing a coach in season, which he had never done before, Robert Saleh, like, there's evidence that he's willing to do that again. And this offseason couldn't be more dysfunctional at the start. So, you know, that's where we're at. So it's, you know, has been a fun start to the offseason, I would say. I was hoping for a fun offseason. That's what we kept talking about. But it can get fun again. There's hope still for fun.
It is concerning, though. You know, you mentioned that all his comments last year when he took over the job about, like, I'm going to have a defensive play caller, an offensive play caller, because I'm going to be the CEO. I'm going to be the head coach of this team. And I don't know if he, like, showed enough last year when it comes to, you know, the end of halves, what we saw from him, and just what he did overall as a head coach, to now add something else on top of that he's going to have to worry about. That's, I don't know, it's a little concerning. Like, did he get the CEO part down enough so that now he can also call defensive plays?
I mean, look, there are only so many ways I can keep saying this now, but, like, the thing he kept saying over and over again as they were losing was, I have a plan, I have a plan, trust me, I have a plan, don't let go of the rope, I have a plan. The plan failed in year one. And so, like, maybe there's aspects of the plan that he still has in motion in terms of quarterback and the draft and things like that. But Justin Fields failure, I don't think it's as big of a deal necessarily. Like, it's bad that they thought he was going to be good and he was really bad, but I think it made sense as a lottery ticket. Don't need to rehash that. It failed, so you need to try again at quarterback. But the coaching staff is the most glaring thing that he did that failed. And also, like, one thing that keeps coming up is you got to appreciate that Aaron Glenn and this regime, when they have a mistake, they correct it. So, you know, they didn't have good defensive tackles, they go and trade for Harrison Phillips and Jerome Briggs. They needed a corner, they go and get Jarvis Brownlee. The season was over, so they adjusted. They traded away two stars, got a lot of draft picks. Justin Fields was failing, so they benched him. Yeah, that's all true. And now, okay, this coaching staff was not good enough, so Aaron Glenn's like, okay, this coaching staff's not good enough, I'm going to fire them. Yeah, it's good. He's recognizing his mistakes. It's a lot of mistakes to be making. So, like, that just lists off, you made a lot of mistakes and you had to fix them. Like, at a certain point, you need to stop making the mistakes so you don't need to, like, go back and fix that later on. If you just make the right decisions, then that's less mistakes to fix. So while it's good that, like, Aaron Glenn is good at, like Xavier Gibson cut after fumbling it, Isaiah Williams sent down to the practice squad, eventually brought back up, becomes the team MVP. Like, he's good at recognizing mistakes. And I think that's a good quality to have, because I think if there was a flaw in the previous regime, among others, like, they just held on to guys for a little too long over and over again. And, like, kept, you know, you make a mistake and you just double down on that mistake. Zach Wilson, we're not going to give him a backup. Aaron Rodgers, we're not going to get any other quarterback besides Zach Wilson as the backup, is the main one that jumps out. But, you know, so it's good that Aaron Glenn has that attribute, but you need everything else to work out around that. And then that maybe feels a little bit better to, as something you could say as a positive.
All right.
Want to talk about Sam Darnold?
Well, we have next week too.
Only positive? That's true. That's true. Yep. I just wanted to throw some positivity in here, you know?
Yes, Sam Darnold. Be excited for Sam. Bill Belichick didn't get into the Hall of Fame.
Man, the amount of uproar going on with that. And as many people have pointed out, like, all these voters coming up, be like, I voted for him. But, like, what motivation would any of them have to admit that they didn't vote for Bill Belichick? every single tweet from a person who's a voter explaining themselves is like going viral. So right now, like this is like a hot topic. And it's crazy because Belichick's like cachet has never been lower, but everybody's like, come on.
Right.
Like, what are we doing?
I mean, yeah, he's had a rough PR year, and obviously,
yeah, but
Carolina was a disaster. But he,
and even if you think
Super Bowl rings,
if Tom Brady carried him, no, even before he was a great Super Bowl winning coach with Brady, which he was, like, you can say what you want. He was a genius schemer, great defensive coach, and yeah, he was an asshole, but like
the two Giants,
and eventually he lost his curveball, but he was great. But before that, and I think Connor Hughes honestly pointed that out. I hate crediting Connor. But he was a great defensive coordinator before that. Like, look at the job he did in both the Jets and especially the Giants. Like, he was one of the best defensive coordinators this league has seen. Like, it blows my mind. I just assumed he'd be first ballot, and then it would be funny if Robert Kraft also did. And now there's a chance that Kraft gets in and Belichick doesn't.
Which is also, that's terrible.
I mean, the funniest part of all this was the Bill Polian stuff. Did you see all this? So like somebody reported that he was the one who campaigned against Bill Belichick because of Spygate. Like, he thought he deserved to be punished for a year. One reporter reached out to him. He's like, no, I voted for Bill. That's a lie. Another reporter reached out to him and he's like, I actually don't remember who I voted for. But so sounds like maybe Bill Polian shouldn't be on the committee is what I would say. You know, the guy who
said Lamar Jackson
should be
your
wide receiver. Yeah.
You should probably get removed.
So
there you go. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. We can preview the Super Bowl a little bit, talk a little bit more about Sam Darnold, and we'll see what other things have happened at the Jets. I would imagine a lot of this will, over the next week, move a lot. They can't wait too much longer to have coordinators in place. Gotta make a move. But great stuff, Zach. Great reporting. If you haven't checked out, I think you have three stories up in the last 24 hours, right? Between Gruden and the overall mess and Angstrand. There's a lot. So check out The Athletic for that. I'm wearing my new shirt.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I got that the other day. I was pretty hyped about that. Yeah.
It's actually top, one of the best
top quality
end of year little gifts we've gotten. So yeah. Anyway, nobody wants to hear about that. We'll be back next week. Thanks to everybody for tuning in and checking out Flight Plan. Bye-bye.